ha ha, I won the bet. You lose. You have to bungee jump. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Look, I had really good odds going into this. I was very well intentioned.
Very well intentioned.
And very well endowed.
Oh, but very well a loser. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of
Flapping and Fawning. I'm 30, flirty, and thriving. Fawn.
I am born. Flapjack. That was just a little taste of my character in Paget the Musical. Vaughn, how have you been? It's been a few weeks since we got a second to record and release an episode.
It's been chaos, let me tell you.
Yeah?
Like, we had the Miss Magic City Comedy Queen pageant.
Yes.
Congratulations to Rita Room.
Yes,
for winning, and congratulations to Green, our lovely first alternate.
And of course, an honorable mention to Marvelous Wellington, who won first place in the Outrageous Evening Gown category, and to all of our contestants. I mean, so many of them, it was their very first time in a pageant, and I'm really proud of all six of the contestants that we had that day.
Yeah, and I didn't do any of the work.
Oh my God. I think that's a discussion we should save for at least 3 more weeks. But you did do a lot, and I'm very proud of what both of us put into it.
Yeah.
Cuz I know that I could not have done this without you, and
it was a lot of fun, and I cannot wait for next year. Like,
same. And if they don't make hurricanes again, I will be so mad. That turned the party, baby.
I don't even want to go back and watch the video because I'm afraid of some of the shit that I probably said.
I think that if anyone said cancelable shit, it was me. And I went back and watched, and there were only 2 things I said that were kind of cancelable, but they were not that bad.
I know I said some shit about the sugar bakers that I probably shouldn't have or something.
Oh, well,
something also about camp.
If they listen to this podcast, they will they will hear the exact same things. Well, so I think it's fine. But it was a wonderful event. Thanks to everyone who came out, and I'm really, really proud of the work that went into it, and so I'm excited to support these contestants on the way to nationals.
Yes.
What else have you been up to since
Mark and I
January 14th
signed a lease on a house?
Ooh, what's the address?
It is 42069.
I really thought you were about to go in. I was like, oh my God, I have to bleep this.
Yeah, so I will be your almost neighbor.
Yeah, that's so exciting. I'm really pumped that you won't have to drive so far and get stung by wildebeests in your yard. Oh, or whatever. God. They were.
Yeah. Mark told me, they were like, you're going to be able to walk to Flaps to record the podcast. And I said, do you think I'm going to walk?
How many blocks is it? Like 4?
Maybe.
Okay.
I know what to tell you as a reference of what we're really close to. However, that makes it common knowledge for everybody.
I got you. I can walk to work, and it's about 5 blocks. And by the time I hit block 4, I'm reaching my limit. So
let me look.
Just FYI, when the weather gets especially hot or especially cold, it's murder me.
We have these lovely windows on the front of the house that'll swing open when we have people over.
Ooh,
yeah,
that's nice. Let all the bugs in.
The house is from the 30s. So
oh, cool. Okay,
I went down to the basement yesterday when the gas guy came to turn the gas on.
Mm-hmm.
It is creepy as fuck down there and muddy as hell.
Oh yeah, every basement or crawl space in the area that we're living in is kind of like that. All these houses were built nearly 100 years ago. So you'll probably have a ghost or two, but hey, at least you have some drag room space.
Yes, a lot. We're like 5 or 6 That's blocks so nice. Away from you. I just looked.
Oh, nice. Are you going to be able to ditch your storage unit?
Yes.
Yay.
Because we are having 2 drag rooms.
That's
a craft room and a storage room.
Not a crap room.
No, we do have 2 of those too. One upstairs and downstairs.
Well, that's a major upgrade. You have stairs?
Yeah.
Oh my God, Fawn. Is it hard to get all 4 of your legs on to match up as you go up the stairs?
Absolutely. I'm like a cow. I can go upstairs, but I can't go down them.
I appreciate that you finally learned how to yes and. Okay, now we are going to be on a pretty long break after this episode. So first of all, thanks to everyone for your patience on us getting out this Dragula review. We hope you enjoyed the episode with Patty Bouret. That's been one of our most listened to episodes of this season, actually. So it's really, really fierce that people are jumping in right now. But we wanted to make sure that we closed out the season strong. This is our final episode of season 2 of Flapping and Fawning. And of course, it's the final review episode of Dragula season 5.
I can't believe that we're already like at the end of season 2.
Yeah, I know. This has been 2 years of talking shit.
Wow. So and neither of us have been canceled yet either.
That I know of. Who knows? Maybe someday. We can just keep trying, you know? But in the meantime, as Fawn and I are getting ready to relaunch season 3, we have quite a few shows that we want to make sure that we plug. So get out your calendars or head over to the links in the description of this episode so that you can see all of these plugs. First of all, I mentioned it before, Pageant the Musical at Birmingham Festival Theater. That's probably why my voice sounds a little different and why we have not had a good chance to record recently. I got pulled into playing Miss West Coast in Pageant the Musical. So it's my very first musical and it is so fun. I'm having a huge blast getting to be in a musical. Like, it's something I've always kind of wanted to do, but not really ever had the chance to. So that runs from January 26th to February 11th. And a cool thing about this show is that it has alternate endings. So if you, the ending that we had on Thursday night was different from the ending we had on Friday night. And Slay. The audience gets to choose what that ending is, which I think is pretty fierce. You know, like, what a fun thing to get to be in.
Slay.
So, yeah. What's next?
And on the second Wednesday of every month, you can catch us at Drag Bingo at High Wire Brewing. The next one will be on February 14th, which will be a very special Valentine's edition of Drag Bingo at High Wire.
Oh, yes. The love will be in the air, and so will 069. Also, for one of our sponsors, on Saturday, February 17th at Trim Tab Brewing, DIY Drag Show's Heavy Metal Lover Show will be hosted by Twat Wyland and Saliva Godiva. It's always a good time to go to a DIY drag show, so make sure you make it out to that. It is free, and there will be a live performance by Writhing Shadows following the show.
That is incredible.
Yeah, it is, and it's all on their flyer.
I don't know how to read. Yeah. You should know this by now. Also, a little like self-plug here. I will be at Comic-Con on the 9th for the very first drag show they are having at Comic-Con. I will be hosting it.
That's so cool.
On February 9th at 11 o'clock
PM. Nice. Do you know who else is in that lineup?
The lineup will be myself, Idol King, Tokyo Drift.
Yes.
And I don't know if they are performing as Adonis or Ho. I think it might be Ho Hefner.
Got it. Well, that's so fierce. Oh my God. I love all the people who are in that. Yeah. It's such a cosplay heavy show. So I think that
it's a cosplay themed show. And then on the 10th, they will also be doing a drag bingo that is cosplay themed.
Oh, fun.
But I wasn't able to do that because on the 10th, I will be at Black Market for Queer Prom. With Karis, Victoria, Taylor, Victoria Taylor, and Diamond Swisher.
Love it, love it. And did you go to prom in high school?
Yes, unfortunately.
Oh, did you not have a good prom experience?
I did junior year, senior year. I got in a wreck on the way to prom.
That I loved.
Senior prom was awful. Like, we went balls out as a junior class because the juniors always play in prom. So we went all and paid for prom. We went all
paid
out.
Paid for?
Yeah.
You had to pay for it?
The juniors paid for prom.
And jeez.
The seniors didn't. We as a junior class, had this beautiful, all balls out, like, incredible Night in Hollywood theme that was really rich. And then the grade below us, for our senior year, it was a neon night. And it had these cheap Party City hats and feather boas. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry that those prom experiences weren't up to your standard, Fawn. But I have to say, prom was, I loved every second of it. I feel like I was so lucky to have a, like, I went to a small school. It was very country, but I always felt like they really did it big for prom.
It was country and cunty.
It was. It, like, and I was even on prom court my senior year.
I wasn't that popular. Oh, I did also go to somebody else's prom. I went to two proms my junior year.
Oh. So you went to three proms in total?
Yeah.
Me too. I got to go my sophomore year.
I just went to, like, another school's my junior year.
Oh, interesting. What's, well, I guess
you just... Bessemer Academy.
Oh.
They had it at Vulcan.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Where did y'all have yours? When, like, did y'all do it at a different place, or did you have it at your school?
Different place, because I went to a Christian school.
Oh, so you can't dance in front of the Lord.
Right.
Of course, of course.
So we had it at, like, junior year, it was, like, at the Is or Is something. Like, it's a whole, like, I don't know if the whole thing exists, but, like, Is Cafe. It's, like, a part of that, like, franchise, and they had, like, a event space.
Cool.
Delicious food.
Yeah.
Delicious food. I still remember the food. And then senior year, it was someplace downtown.
Mm.
I think it was, like, a hotel or some shit downtown. I
couldn't
tell you where it is. I don't probably pass it multiple times. That's how unmemorable it was.
We had ours at the Harbert Center, which, like, every year. It was always, like, a standing reservation, I guess. I loved it. Like, you walked in and there's these escalators, so it's like you're in Disney World.
Escalators.
Yeah. And then you go up, and I don't know, it felt like you were at the club, you know, everyone's dancing, and I loved it. Oh my God.
Like, our homecoming was always at the Pelham ice skating rink in one of the ballrooms.
Oh, interesting.
In one of the ballrooms.
Was it cold?
No.
Oh, boo.
But, like, every year, that's where it was.
See, I wonder if we did our prom super big, because we only ever had, like, a homecoming dance once, and it was not great. Like, it was just, like, in the cafeteria, and no one really came. But everyone always went big for prom, so.
Everybody did come at prom. They didn't come for a homecoming, but they did for prom.
I have a fun story about this. I didn't come, but I did, like, so, you know the song Thrift Shop by Macklemore?
Yeah.
I hurt myself dancing to that song because I love it so much. You know that move where you, like, I've never been able to dance, but where you, like, put one hand on your head and then one hand on your leg and you, like,
yeah,
you know? Okay, well, I tried to do that with no hands and immediately hit myself in the nose and then blood was everywhere, and it was on my tux, like my rental tux, like it was on the floor, like they had to, like, clear the space and mop because of me. And there's this photo of me in my tux with blood everywhere. This should be my Dracula audition. And I had this, like, ice pack on my nose in my rental tux. And so after the after party was at my house.
This sounds like some euphoria shit.
I don't know. I love it. It's probably one of my favorite prom memories, just because it was so chaotic. We get home, and my mom has made this huge, huge spread of breakfast food for us. But the thing is, we weren't, like, drunk. You know?
Right.
But it was, if we were drunk, that food would have been gone. But since everyone was still trying to be dainty, like, we didn't really eat it, and she was a little annoyed. But we played the Michael Jackson Experience while my mom took my rental tux upstairs and got all the blood out. I was always a great kid.
That's wild.
Do you have any other plugs?
Also, on the 24th, I believe, of February, which will be the last Saturday of the month, I will be at Kara's Drag Brunch All-Stars Elysian Gardens. That showtime is at 1 o'clock. Seating starts at noon.
Yeah, so there has been a venue change for that, right? Is that always going to be last Saturday of the month?
I believe so.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, make sure, you know, you can still catch Kara's Drag Brunch All-Stars. You can head over to Elysian Gardens.
Yes.
Elysian
Elysian
Elysian Gardens to see a fun show.
Yes.
Also, I want to make sure that for one of our other sponsors, Central Alabama Pride, that I mention on Saturday, March 16th at 8 p.m. at Saturn, there will be the Spring Fling Drag Extravaganza featuring the one and only Jada Essence Hall, winner of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 12 and also who was on All Stars 7.
She's great. You're going to love her.
Oh, yeah. I have not had a chance to meet her yet, but she's been in town like a bunch. So I'm really pumped to finally get that. I'm really excited to get to host that event, but it's also going to feature Remora Lee Creations, Queen Essence Hall, Victoria Taylor, Twat Wyland, Kavoris Dupree Star, Daranisha Danae Star, and Tishelle Monroe. And we'll have tickets available in the episode description right here for you. Now, enough about plugs. You want to talk about Dragula?
Dragula.
Dragula Season 5 Finale. All right. So, first of all, what did you think of
the opener?
Well, I was going to say, like, the season overall.
Oh, the season overall. It was good, but it wasn't my favorite.
What's your favorite?
Probably, like, I don't know if that's hard.
It is hard.
Because I really like 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, I like filled out.
But all for different reasons.
I filled out the Dragula audition to see what they required, like, you know, in the thing that comes second, the piece. And they ask in the written application, like, which one's your favorite and why? Which one's your least favorite and why? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, but I said season 3 was my favorite because I really like Louisiana Purchase.
Well, but, like, season 2 and season 4 had good drama. But season 3 also had...
Are you fucking kidding me? Yeah, it had a lot of iconic moments. And Landon Sider, like, I feel like completely changed the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, season 3 is great.
But season 4 has Dolly. And season 2 has Dolly. And you know I'm a Dolly stan.
Yeah. I think season 4 might be my favorite, just because it...
The whole cast. It also had Sigourney.
Yeah, I loved everyone in that cast, especially in the top 4. Yeah. And I felt like the drama was really relevant to what was going on in the season. I will say, like, I related a lot. I feel like I could see myself on Dragula after watching season 5, whereas in previous seasons, I could not.
It was season 3 that made me want to, like, do it. Mm. But season 4, that really made me be like, yeah, I could do this.
Yeah, this is the show for you. Yeah, well, yeah, season 5 has been a really interesting ride, and I've enjoyed seeing it for sure. I mean, it's been very diverse in the talents, and I don't know. I feel like ever since we started doing the bet, I've been more invested in the show as a whole. And, of course, we opened up with the Boulets, once again, in black and white, and they start by welcoming us back by mocking us.
Honestly, I loved this. The fact that they were like, you've complained... But you're still here.
Uh-huh.
And who knows what we're going to do at the end. Are we going to dump blood on somebody? Are we going to hang their picture up in a hallway? I live.
I love them shading the audience as well. It was very funny. I do wish, though, that they would do something for Victoria Elizabeth Black. Because she deserves to get that blood poured on her, don't you think?
She might have on the tour.
Well, then they should have recorded it and released it.
Well, they didn't record them giving Coco Kane the Exorcist her title.
I meant to bring that up in the reunion. I thought that they might implement that so that we could be caught up on the lore of their show.
Yeah.
You know, the Exorcist thing, because, you know, if you remember, listeners, from episode 3, I think, of season 5, when we saw Coco Kane, they said she was the first Exorcister, which is like their congeniality, so I thought they might actually implement something like that.
I just want to know if that comes with money.
I'm sure it doesn't, but it looks like it does come with bookings, so that's, you know, TV time is like real estate, so that's good.
Yeah.
So the way I would like to break down this episode, I will say, from like a production standpoint, I wasn't crazy about having all 4 of the monster intros split up, especially like the Throbs coming right after the intro. I thought that was a little strange. But I do want to talk about all of those first. Yeah. Is that okay?
I will say I didn't mind them being all broken up. Because like, if we would have just had a giant chunk of back-to-back, all these emotional stories with nothing to break it up, I don't think that would have flowed well.
Yeah.
And I think you could have lost people's attention very easily.
I agree. I just think that having, well, I guess what really threw me at was having Throbs right after the intro, and then you see them all come into the lab. We were like, well, that seemed like it wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah.
But also, I broke it down to see like where it all was, and I don't know where else they would have put it. I wanted to ask, so we got snowed in, or iced in, really, when this premiered. Were you trapped? Did you have any weird circumstances that you watched this under?
Was it just me? My parents... watching it at the same time as Mark. We both hit play at the same time. They were at their apartment. I was in the bathtub watching this.
Okay.
Having a gay old time.
Uh-huh. Moving on.
What? I love a warm bath.
Okay.
It's so relaxing.
Fawn featured in Saltburn.
Look, yeah, and I've got clawfoot tubs in the new house. So,
ooh, we're like twins. Nice. Yeah. So for me, it was the day after the pageant. So I had taken Patty and Mr. Miss Adrian to the airport, and then I got a call from India that she was stuck here and that her transportation home had been canceled because of the ice.
Right.
So India came and stayed with me for like 2 days. Opal Essence was still here. Megan Brooker came over. And we had like this little finale Snowden viewing party that was just totally impromptu. So it was really fun to get to experience that with all of them.
Because I got like snowed in at home because Monday was when we signed the lease.
Mm.
And I immediately went home and started packing.
You said, bye, bitches.
Right.
Well, first up, we had Throb Zombie. And Throb talked about, they mentioned how grateful they are to the drag king community for supporting them. And they also mentioned that they are grateful to their wife for supporting them. They said that they are a very play hard, work hard person, and they discussed their own mental health struggles. Any thoughts on Throb Zombie going into the finale?
I really understood a little bit more of Throb, especially when Throb said that going in nice as a defense mechanism, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Going in nice and cordial because of own mental health things and as a defense mechanism, I kind of related to that.
Okay.
Because I'm, in all honesty, kind of a cunt. But when I first meet people, I really am nice because I have anxiety.
Great. So Throb Zombie just progressively revealed to us that they're a huge cunt.
I live.
And Fawn related to that. After the lab, we got to see Blackberry's monster special.
Blackberry's talked about how during the pandemic and stuff like that, she basically was the provider for her family. And this was so touching. And honestly, watching Blackberry's, I was like, this is winter energy.
Hmm.
Quite honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I was really moved as well. I wish that this wasn't the first time we were hearing about this.
Yeah.
Because I think it would have been interesting to hear other conversations about how people have supported themselves, their families with drag as a career. And I feel like that is something we don't get to hear about very often. You know, it's usually like, oh, my family doesn't accept me because I do this. And that's the struggle. But truly, Blackberry was the provider for their family, and how they got food on the table was doing drag. I mean, Hurricane Harvey destroyed her house right after COVID hit as well. So it was not just the pandemic, but also Hurricane Harvey. Yeah. And then when she finally got that deal with a commercial, it allowed her to have some financial stability. Do you know what that commercial was that she mentioned?
I do not.
I probably should have researched that, but I didn't. So go Google it, y'all. Yeah, I was really going into this, I thought they were going to give it to Blackberry, to be honest.
I especially coming off of that reunion and then this, I was like, oh, this is Blackberry's.
Yeah, yeah. The reunion in particular, really, I thought, set it up for Blackberry. But then after the main stage, we got to see Nia Huru X's monster special. And she discussed how her family in China doesn't accept them and how it hurts. She discussed how her family in China doesn't accept her and how it hurts her that they can't celebrate her at her best as she is right now.
But they also don't even know anything about where she is now. And I'll be honest, when that was said, I didn't expect Nia to win, because a lot of times that kind of stuff doesn't get crowned between Drag Race and Dragula. They want, typically the winner is somebody that is already out to their family and whether the family accepts them or not, is like out and not hiding things. You know what I mean?
I do. I do. I also think, though, that, so I was really moved by this one. Like, I literally cried because I identify a lot with this one.
No.
Like, the, but when, I feel like it is a bit different when Neo has this very independent status, right? It's not like, yeah, she's going home to live with her parents after this.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's her own woman and away from a lot of that relationship with China. But I think that Drac was absolutely right in that she has to be able to deal with, right, that.
I think that's what I was like more so getting at. Not that it was like that she's dependent on them. It's just like, this will affect you. And it's one of those things. Usually the people are crowned that are going to be at their best. And I feel like when you still have some of this really traumatic stuff to deal with, that you like aren't necessarily going to be at your best because you've got to take care of this. And like, you've got to learn how to like get past it and grow. Otherwise, like, you're still going to have this trauma in the back of your mind. And yeah, it might motivate you to be even bigger and better, but also you're probably doing that to seek validation from them. And if you're not going to get that validation, you're kind of doing it in vain. You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to say that in a disrespectful way to Neo, because I also completely understand where she's, not completely, I understand where she's coming from, like, because I have a similar relationship with my family when it comes to drag. But it's just like, I think it's something that will linger in the back of your mind until you get some kind of resolve.
Sure, sure. But I also think that there's some cases where your family will never accept you.
Yeah.
You know? And,
but I mean,
and then like...
At least in that case, you do get closure and you can move on.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I just really identify with this because you're in this weird state, right? Where it's like, I feel like I am performing at the best I could possibly be. And when that's whether my family's going to accept me or not, you know? And I think that's what I saw from Neo. I mean, she's just proven that she is really performing at a very high level with or without them. And I think that's why I just identified so much with her this season. I really enjoyed her. And this piece in particular, it was like, you want that validation so bad because you see like everyone in the world celebrating you.
Yeah.
But then what, the people who made you, just they can't see it. Like it's a very weird feeling. So
I know for me, it was one of the things I kind of like gave up on very long ago, was like my parents ever accepting my drag, like even before they ever knew about it. So like, I personally have always been like, this is like for me, but there are people out there and it's valid. Like, I'm not trying to say that it's not, but like, that still want that acceptance for drag and just like their art and stuff like that, that aren't going to get it. So I like had to like kind of like tell myself early on that I probably will never get it. And I know that's kind of rough, but it's also real.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's why I really like Neo as a winner, because I think that so often you get these stories of like Love, Simon, for example, you know,
I haven't seen it.
Well, it's just, I really struggle to identify with that kind of queer content, things like that, or Heartstopper, because it just feels very not real to me. You know, it's like, oh, it's okay, kiddo, we're still going to love you for being who you are, but that's not what my experience was, you know? And that's not what a lot of the media portrays.
There's a reason the movie Prayers for Bobby exists.
Yeah, which I have not seen, so I should see. But
it's got Sigourney Weaver in it.
It's got Sigourney Weaver? Yeah. Now I have to see it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
She plays the mom.
Oh my God. Are there aliens?
No.
Oh, dang. Well, that makes it
way worse. It's a good movie, but you will cry. You will cry.
Don't tell me that.
But it's so good.
Well, speaking of Orgotic, what happened in Orgotic's monster special?
They discussed like how they like one of the most one of the best days of their childhood was the fact that their parents got divorced.
That was an interesting way to start. I thought it really brought me in. Like, what do you mean?
But also like, it's a story that's told countless times from people from split family homes that like it affects the kids if you're together and not happy, because so many people do try to stay together for the kids, but...
Because we're doing it for the kids.
But that can end up negatively affecting the kids.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just be doing it for the kids. They've got to know that... Honestly, it's like one of those things as a parent, you've got to set an example. You've got to be like, no, you don't just stick in a shitty situation for somebody else, like, just because you, like... It's going to affect the kids if you're in a bad situation.
Yeah. And I think you're right. Like, it's better to get yourself into a place where you are safe and able to reach yourself, your own self-actualization.
And it tells the kids to, like, go for what's best for you, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. It was definitely an interesting piece to hear from Orkadic, especially about their childhood in Colombia. And also talking about his relationship with his mom, how she was homophobic at first, but she's really come around. And he feels that he really wants to use the resources he gains from winning to support his mom.
And wants to take her on, travel the world.
Yeah.
He seems his eyes.
He seems like such a sweetheart.
Yeah.
But his drag is crazy to me. Like, what?
I love it.
Okay, so that was the monster specials. Then we go into the lab, where everyone walks in. So we have Blackberry, Throb, Neo, and Orgotic, and they discuss how excited they are to have made it to the finale. And we finally get some resolution to why Orgotic and Neo were so quiet at the Last Supper, which I just want to point out means that they filmed
the I ended up listening reunion. To the Boulez podcast, and like, yeah, I don't like the reunion being filmed
same
during the season.
I think it's very strange. And I like, if there's one blemish on the season, it's that to me.
I think that's how they've always done it.
Don't like it.
I think it's because they have everybody there. I mean, the one time we've gotten a Canada reunion, it was filmed during the season.
Yeah. And that may be easier logistically, but it, you know, you really need that time to watch what's going on. So I would love for them to do a live finale in the future. That
you've
would be
so
fierce.
You've got to have like that degree of separation.
Mm-hmm. And be able to watch, to let your true emotions show, like what was said in the confessional versus what was said, you know, to your face. That may be why people weren't saying how they really feel, you know, in the Boulez perspective. But I was glad that we got this resolution on why Orgotic and Neo were so quiet at the Last Supper. Neo said that she was just so shocked at Orgotic saying her name in response to who would you stab at the back, and that's why she was quiet and she was hurt at the reunion.
And then Ork explained that the only reason that he said Neo is because you can only be hurt by the people that you trust.
Mm. Which would have been nice to say at the reunion, Ork.
Yeah.
Because that was odd behavior, in my opinion. Then we head to the main stage. There's no video message this episode. And the Boulez explain how a finale works in Dragula. And it works the way it pretty much always works. They will have three floor shows this week to determine the next drag super monster that focus on the three tenets of Dragula: filth, horror, and glamour. But for the glamour floor show, they must also perform a lip sync. This is a new addition, right? This isn't something that... they did something like this for Titans, but not...
Yeah. I can't remember what they've done on past seasons, if they've had the lip sync. I don't remember the lip sync, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen.
I did really like this format, though, because I felt like it made it more complete. Yeah, it just feels like this is the...
I, like, personally wouldn't mind if they... And I know logistically, it will take longer to film... And I know it will cost more money on the part of the competitors, personally.
It's bad for everyone, but it's good for me.
I think it would make better television. If you had all three categories, then you had the lip sync where you had to combine the three categories into one look.
I like that idea as well, and I think that should be the drag tenet, because they have four tenets of Dragula, right? Drag, filth, horror, and glamour.
Look, at this point, it's three tenets. At one point, punk was one of the tenets.
Oh.
In season one.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
The more you know. All right, well, we are going to take a break, and then we'll be right back to discuss a major floor show.
And we are back with the Boulez Brothers Dragula finale. Just in time for the floor show.
There's not just one, not just two, but three floor shows that we got to get through. It's like the Dracula
three
ball.
Three strikes and you're out.
And that was the case for a couple of these contestants.
Oh my God. But before we get into the contestants and their floor shows, the Boulle brothers come out themselves in one of their iconic headpieces. I love when they wear headpieces personally.
I do too. Now, I do want to say that the way I've organized this, there are three Boulle looks that we got this episode. So I figured we could fawn and flop each of those as well.
Did they do a different look for each category?
Not for each category. So the first one was when, instead of a video message, they were on the stage talking to the contestants and they had this like black fringe headpiece thing. Yeah. This was my favorite look I have ever seen them in. I loved everything about it.
I don't know that I would say it's my favorite look that I've seen them in, but I do really like this look.
I loved the fringe. It just created this really cool...
Is it fringe or is it just fabric? Like a chiffon?
I believe it's fringe. Maybe it's fabric. I think you're right. Oh my God, I thought it was fringe. No, that's fringe. If you look at the back, you can kind of see like the lines. I'm pretty sure that's fringe. Anyways, I liked it. And
Big Boulle and Little Boulle, tell us if it's fringe.
Yeah, call
or if it's chiffon.
Yeah, they have like these rhinestone headpieces. I'm sure it's referencing something, but I don't know what it is.
It gives a little bit of like a low-key vibe. With the shape of it.
Low-key? Like Avengers?
Yeah.
Oh.
The shape of it?
I guess so. I'm not really that familiar.
Me either.
I do like the bead work that comes as well. Like, so they have it on the center of their head and it kind of wraps around. And then it creates like a necklace from the headpiece as well. It kind of reminds me, I don't know that this is what they were trying to do, but it kind of reminds me of like, you know, like Indian wedding jewelry, like how they'll have like a and the bride will often have like a nose piece
that connects to like
the rest of the jewelry. Yeah, it reminds me a bit of that, just the way it connects. And I think I've always thought that was gorgeous, and I love that. So here at Flapping and Fawning, we have a very sophisticated system for whether we like or dislike a look. If we like it, it's a
fawn.
If we don't like it, it's a
flop.
And if it's the best look we've ever seen, it's a
fetch.
Stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
And I think it happened for me. This one's a fetch.
Oh.
Stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
I'd wear this in a heartbeat.
I'm going to fawn this one.
Okay. Yeah, it's real cute. Just a little black dress. Next up, we had their floor show looks. How would you describe these?
They are wearing like a demonic... I don't know. It's like black and red as usual. The headpiece
really
is like
changing it up.
Kind of like a upside down cross kind of motif on it.
Yeah, upside down in the cage, Jesus.
With these like devil horns on coming out of their chest. I like don't even really know how to describe this, but I do love the long nails on the... Here's the thing. I don't love a nail glove when it is a nude color glove.
Oh,
but yeah. I love a nail glove when you give me a different color glove and put the nails on the glove. I don't want you to like, I want to know that it's not really your hand. But when you try to make me believe that it's your real hand, but you've got these nails and stoning on,
that's false advertisement.
It looks like you got sausage fingers.
Is that bad?
It looks like you got little hot dogs.
I mean, I think one of our favorite entertainers in the community has hot dog hands. Just saying. So, yeah, I like this look. It was very impressive. I'm sure it's referencing something. It looks like it's foam, I think, that it's made of. You know,
yeah, it's probably it's like EVA
like a cosplay
foam
material. But
EVA foam like or Warbler.
It's
love their
headpieces. It's very glam. It's very well merged into what they're doing.
Anytime they do a headpiece, I always love it.
Yeah. I would like a wig, though.
You'll get a wig.
I will. I'll just be patient. Is it a flop or a fawn?
I'm going to give this a fawn.
It's a fawn for me as well. Double fawns for the Boulles on their floor show looks. And then last but certainly not least of the Boulles, we get their judgment looks. So we only see them from the waist up. But I wanted to mention it because, goddamn, these furry collars are fierce as hell.
I know.
Talk about a Teletubby toilet bowl.
I need you to make me this. I know you can.
I don't know. The size is what's so hard. But I think I could.
After you made your one for Santa.
I think I could, actually.
I think you could make this.
Okay. As long as you pay me, I'll do it.
That could be our season 3 promo art.
Oh, my God. which we need to figure out. But I just, the colors of this were so fucking impressive to me, and I know that's something I just spent a lot of time working on.
I love a dramatic collar. Like, honestly, this is a fetch for me.
Same.
Stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, the boules.
Oh, you fetched them twice.
I did. They swirled and oh my god.
Swirled and twirled.
Yes, swirled and twirled.
I was holding on to my fetch because I knew I was going to fetch that one.
It's really fierce. I love it. All right. Well done, boules. You got a lot of good scores from us this week. All right. Now let's get into this finale floor show with the contestants. The one that really
matters.
The contestants. Will you start us off, you nasty whore?
First up, we have Orgotic slithering out as a hairy, slimy, fleshy little slug.
And this was for the filth category, just to be clear.
I really loved this look, to be honest.
Yeah.
It might be my favorite of the serpentine looks that we've seen this season. I don't need to see another serpentine look on the show.
let's leave that in season 5. Trend alert.
But I really enjoyed this, but it was extremely unfortunate that he could not get himself to throw up like he wanted to.
Yeah, I really felt for him in that moment. I will say, this probably wasn't my favorite of the serpentine looks, but I think that is just my preference in drag.
It's also how he modeled it is why I love it, too.
Yes, he could really move, and it looked serpentine. I think I've mentioned this before. His drag style reminds me so much of the necromorphs from Dead Space, and this was very that. I could totally see this in like a video game, whoa. And I loved the the jaw attachment that he did. I was really starting to wonder whether we could see more versatility from Orc, and this really sealed it for me that the options are limitless in what Orc can do with their art.
I really love this personally.
I think this is my favorite. Well, I'm debating on whether this is my favorite thing they've done or the next one. I liked it a lot.
This is probably my favorite for filth.
Okay. So is it a flop or a fawn for you?
This is a fawn.
It's a fawn. It's a fawn for me as well. You know what might have been cool for filth? If he had cut off his tail like a salamander, you know? And then grown another one or something like that.
That'd be camp.
It would be camp, and I'd be here for it. Speaking of camp, it's Geneva Convention. I mean, Blackberry as a possum. What'd you think?
I really liked this concept. I loved Blackberry eating the fish.
I loved the possum with the boobs.
I really liked this concept. I really liked eating the fish as the filth part.
Yeah.
Even though the nose fell off, I really appreciated that the entire face was still painted under the nose in case the nose fell off.
Same.
My problem with this look is that it is too clean. I wanted some dirt and grime on the costume itself. It looked a little too pristine. I wanted some bits of the fur to be matted up. There's a lot of easy things you could do. They make stuff like planes dust is meant for distressing and making things look literally dirty. I've used it on costumes before to make them look dirty. You could put some liquid latex in there to make it look matted up, or some kind of adhesive to really mat some of those spots up. It just looked a little too clean.
Yeah, I did feel that the makeup didn't entirely match the body, because you have these bloody marks on the face that didn't really carry anywhere else. Yeah. You know, possums could be in fights and stuff, you know, really scavenging for their food. I did appreciate the fish. From what I hear, it really reeked up the room. But with that nose falling off, it was just really distracting as the filth gag was happening. I don't know. I also think it was Blackberry is seasoned enough to know if you're gonna have a prosthetic that could be iffy, maybe your gag shouldn't go near it. Know what I mean? I think there could have been other options with what they did there. I think it's gonna be a fawn minus for me.
I think I would agree with that.
Okay, double fawn minus for Blackberry.
I still really liked this, and I think this could have been top tier with just some tweaking.
Oh yeah, it was really cool. And like I said, like this is the most I've seen myself on a on Dracula, and I was like, I would wear this and this thing that Blackberry's wearing. Oh, next up we have Throb Zombie. What'd you think?
Well, as Katy Perry said, circle the drain.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, aren't they like a drain? A drain?
Yeah. Okay, so we're just making a Katy. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I was just making a... Right.
A what?
I was trying to say reference and joke at the same time, and I said rake.
Interesting. Well, Throb Zombie is a drain. And
a sexy drain.
I loved every piece of this.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. I thought this was... I never in a million years would have thought of something like this. I think that it is really inventive. And I, for me, this is my favorite Filth look. I know that they critiqued it for having a sexy car wash moment, but I personally think that's kind of ridiculous
Like, I think Filth can be more than just physical. I think Filth can also be like...
Like, if you're loving the Filth that you're in, isn't that kind of filthy? And, you know? And to be sexy also, while being nasty, filth that's filthy.
Also just like, can't Filth also just be like morally corrupt?
Yeah, it could be. Absolutely. But with all that being said, I loved every aspect of it. I thought the gag with the loofah, water, grime stuff was really cool.
I thought it was good, but it wasn't my favorite.
Oh my God. This is a fetch for me. I loved it.
This is
Stop
just
trying
a fawn
to make
for
fetch
me.
Happen. It's not going to happen.
And a fawn from Fawn. I don't know. It just felt like a fashionable moment I would never expect. So that's always a big win for me. And last but certainly not least, we had Neo Huru X, who came out in a giant Chinese takeout box, opened and revealed that they were covered in noodles. They had the word sex doll in rhinestones on their stomach. They had a pig foot with as painted toenails as a phallus. And they also had like a pig nose on their nose. What'd you think of this?
I'm about to be really unfiltered and honest.
Okay.
I'm tired of words on drag.
Oh, okay.
And Neo's on it a lot.
Yeah.
I don't need you to tell me. I need you to show me. Also, the nose prosthetic was not applied very well. But then why are you going to put the nose prosthetic on when you can't even hardly see it with how much hair you have in your face? And you can't even walk in the takeout box. So yet another Neo outfit that she can't walk in. This was my least favorite of the category.
I
really liked the pig phallus foot thing.
I thought that was cool. I wasn't as crazy about this one as I was for some of the others in the Filth category. And I agree. I also don't love words on drag. I mean, we've all seen the This Is Me performance with all the slurs
Protect
and hate comments.
Drag.
Yeah, written on like a coat. Like, I get that. Or a dress. But I liked other aspects of it. I thought that could be appreciated.
I thought the like ramen was great.
Same. I loved the pig foot, and yeah, I really liked the ramen. I mean, it felt very gross to me. I don't know, just that feeling of,
and like the distressing on this was fantastic. Like the distressing on this was great. A level that probably nobody other than like Orc probably got, like for it looking filthy. It's just I had those like fundamental problems with this look. I like, there are a lot of really great things about this look, but there's so many like for me on a fundamental level that I didn't like.
Yeah, I love the campness of her starting in this takeout box and then it opening, especially the shot at the beginning where it just said enjoy. Like, I thought that was very smart that was the first one she opened.
I wonder if she got in contact with Bitter Betty for this, because Bitter Betty does wig takeout, the brand. And they come in the giant Chinese takeout boxes.
Maybe they come in that giant of a
they're like almost that big. They're not quite that big.
Oh, I did not know that. Interesting. Okay, so fawn or flop for you?
Flop.
I liked it, but it was not my favorite, so it's probably gonna be a fawn minus for me, because I agree. I'm always disappointed when I see like words written on drag like that.
I'm
it's
tired
like,
of Neo getting away with wearing drag she can't walk in when everybody else gets in trouble for it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But she still won that. Next up we have...
Spoilers!
My bad. Next up we have the horror category. Starting with Rob Zombie, what'd you think of this one?
If this would have been a different color instead of that pinky red, I think I would have enjoyed this. Like, if it had been like grays or blues or greens, like something a little more like eerie rather than this red that ended up looking really pink.
Yeah.
I think I would have liked it.
I didn't like this.
The reddy pink made it just look not as spooky.
It looks like Princess Leia's costume with Jabba the Hutt, you know?
Yeah.
And like they just attached a bunch of like tool to it. I don't know. It doesn't take me to like one level beyond.
Because like I feel like a blue or a green or like a gray and black could have like added like some spooky elements, because you could have gone like with a dark blue and it'd be like drowning kind of vibe, or like just like a spooky ghost if you go in more of a tealy lighter blue, like a lot of the colors Jarvis uses.
Yeah.
Or like go with like a deep green could have worked.
It definitely didn't feel very ghostly. And I also didn't understand like what had happened to this person.
Was it an abortion?
I don't know. Like I thought the blood didn't quite make sense with any particular injury that could have occurred.
It's a flop.
Yeah, it was a flop for me. Which is wild. Like I thought Throb had a shot at winning with the Filth Floor Show. Like I thought that was such a cool floor show, and then this came out. I was like, what are we doing? Anyways, moving on. Next up, we have Blackberry.
She's giving you a little bit of a Texas Chainsaw Massacre, a little bit of a Hellraiser vibe, like Cinnabite vibe.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, when I saw her talking about this in the lab, I was so fucking pumped.
Same.
And then when this came out, it did not disappoint. This is my favorite look of the finale.
Ooh. Is of the finale? I don't know.
This is my favorite look of the finale.
It's a fetch for me.
This is absolutely a fetch.
Stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
I thought it was really cool. And
I know the Boulets had a problem with the rhinestones and the sequin. I personally didn't have that problem.
She is a drag queen.
I personally didn't have that problem, but I also don't know that I would have made that choice myself. I would have probably gone for blood.
So like, okay.
I would have probably like actually done blood instead of rhinestone and sequin, but it is still, it's very, they want you to do it in your style. So she did it
in her
Blackberry style.
See, that is exactly how I feel, because it's like, sure, she could have used blood, but this just felt like it was more Blackberry. But also like, what's wrong with like, for pageant actually, like I,
and from a distance, it looked, because of the sequin and rhinestones,
it looks like fresh blood.
It glistens.
Exactly. See, and that's, so for pageant, there is a costume that I needed to make that was a bit more gory. And I used like a blood paint that dries to look like blood. And then I put stones on it to give it that effect. And I just think it looks stronger, like a fresher wound when it happens. And if you have hooks into your skin and it's all pulling it off of you, those are going to be fresh wounds. It's really cool. There could have been more gore coming out of the wounds, I felt, but I don't care. The look alone is just so fierce, and it's horrific. Like, this is truly a terrifying vision.
A couple years ago, I almost tried making a Texas Chainsaw Massacre inspired look.
It's tough.
The fabrics did not agree with me, because I was working with two-way stretch pleathers, and they did not agree with me.
Yeah, you can't really use stretch for something like this, or not, at least not. You said two-way?
Yeah.
Mm.
It was just like,
it might work.
The way I was trying to do it, the pleather catches on the sewing machine. You know what I mean?
Like,
because it's sticky, it's got that grip. So I was just having problems with that.
Yeah, it's difficult to work with. I mean, that's what I used for my leech look, I believe. It was like a two-way stretch pleather. It's not the easiest to sew on. So this was very well done.
Yeah, love it.
Next up, we had Orgotic in the horror category, and this was like a body horror kind of moment.
Let me tell you, this was horrifying.
Yeah.
I thought Orc was like, at this point, minus like the little fuck up with the throwing up.
The gag gag. Gag gag.
I think Orc was like potentially going to like slay this. Depending on how Glamour went, it was going to come down to Glamour for whether Orc could like win, because this was literally terrifying.
I didn't necessarily think go that far.
Not like literally terrifying, but it was
No. Well, definitely terrifying. I didn't necessarily think they were going to win for this, because there were still some like edges and things that I think that the Boulets would care about.
Yeah.
In terms of things like, you could kind of see his real body under the foam he used on his legs. But I'm not trying to focus on that. I think like overall this vision is so fucking freaky. And
you went from Blackberry, who like had glamour in her horror, to like this, which is like
filth in your horror.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like having this like full body cast moment, walking on the what are those called?
The crutches.
Crutches, yes. And then like beating your own legs with them. And it just like, I think it also makes you have these uncomfortable discussions with yourself about what it's like to be a temporarily able-bodied person, you know? Like, I don't know, because it is horror in that sense. Like, one day you wake up and you're not able to move the way you formerly were able to. I liked it, and I don't know that was necessarily the message behind it, but that is absolutely a fear I have. Like, right. I once broke my foot when I was in college, and I couldn't get around, and it was one of the most horrifying feelings I ever had. It was like, how am I going
to
do anything?
And if you know anything about Flash, he knows how to get around.
I do, and it really messed up my love life. But, Orc Gothic, any other thoughts on this? I mean, what a cool...
I think it's a fawn for me.
It's a fawn for me as well. I wish that they had something different for those teeth, other than the... printed teeth. That kind of was like, okay. Or I wish they hadn't shown us this close-up of them gluing that onto their face, because it really made me look for that after.
And it wasn't super noticeable, but because I saw it when they were putting it on, I was like,
yeah. Agreed.
And next up we have Niohulu X.
Okay. And when speaking of words on drag, when she said, I put all the horrible things people have called me on the jacket. I was like, girl, come on. What do you mean? Don't do the This Is Me dress. Don't do that for horror.
And making it look like a clan robe.
Oh, I did not catch that.
Did it not kind of look like a clan robe to you before she took it off?
I didn't see that. I saw a straight jacket, but it is definitely like a white robe. And in the image we have, with doesn't the show hood. The top of it. I did not catch that. I know it had like a mask. It was a hood.
Oh, it read as a hood to me. Ooh. It might be a mask.
I think it was a mask. I don't remember a hood, but
I didn't.
A long story short, I did not live for this either.
And the reveal was clunky. And what she revealed too,
it wasn't that exciting.
Was
in my opinion.
In my opinion, the worst thing she's worn all season.
Yeah, I agree.
The wig was awful. There was not hardly any detail. I don't get what's horror about this other than having like 3D printed like bones.
Yeah.
I didn't get it.
It was, is that a kabuki mask or is that something else?
I do not know.
I'm not sure either. I think she may be referencing the something that I don't get.
The
mask was
the best part of the look.
I agree. And earlier in the season, she talked about things being 3D printed and how they're kind of lifeless until you give them life in a way. And I felt like she did not achieve that this time, like in a way to give it life. I also thought that just something about the way it sat on her body didn't look right.
Right.
Like, she needed padding or something to
clunky.
Make it not feel bulky like that. Yeah.
And that fucking wig.
The hair is rough. And you can do something much better with that wig. My husband, he actually just got a really cool commission for an anime wig that someone is getting married in. And he showed me what he was going to have to do, like the reference photo. And I was like, that's not possible. You can't make a wig look like that. But he fucking did it with, I'm pretty sure, this exact same Amazon wig. Slay. He was like, this was $30 on Amazon. And he showed me as Niohulu X was on our TV in this wig. He was like, I just bought this.
I want to see the wig that Danny did. Is it done?
I think so. I'll see if he can send me a photo. I don't have a photo of it, but I know he's taking it to the person now. But it looked great. Anyways, though. It's a flop for me. Sorry, Neo.
Yeah, same.
I think that's my only flop I've ever given her, which breaks my heart a little bit. Then, finally, we had the glamour category with a lip-sync performance to Destroy Everything You Touch by Ladytron. And the first out is Niohulu X.
This hair and this gown are so fucking incredible.
So stunning.
The makeup is incredible. My only critique is that the blue arms with the like mask look felt a little distracting, but also like the fact that she didn't do anything to her arms in the other one.
Well, I don't know. That's what I'm confused. Like, how was this filmed for her to have blue arms during one portion and then no arms for the other?
And the fact that she was able to make such a dramatic change, were the other contestants given the same opportunity, is what I want to know.
Well, what I wonder is if the lip sync was told to them on the spot. And so she was like, well, shit, I had a mask for this, you know? And so she had to, like, pivot.
But, I mean, that's a big change. And I just want to know if the other contestants had the same opportunity. Because I don't think it would be fair if they didn't. Because I know, like, Blackberry's jumping ahead a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There were some parts of Blackberry's where she had the cover-up on and some parts that she didn't. So it would go back and forth between that. But that's not as big of a difference as having an entire makeup change.
True.
And it was a little distracting having like the arms sometimes blue, sometimes not blue, sometimes there's a mask covering her whole face, sometimes there's not.
What I bet they did was I bet they had them model in their full look, you know, and then they came back for a second portion of doing the lip sync.
It would show them lip syncing with, like, I think Blackberry's, it showed her lip sync with and without the...
Well, yeah, but they also showed all of them. All of this was with Destroy Everything You Touch playing, you know? So I think that they just incorporated the modeling piece and the lip sync piece all into one 3-minute segment.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what would make sense to me. Because I know for stuff like Drag Race, and probably when they filmed the lip sync for this, like they always filmed the lip sync twice so that you can get all the right angles and stuff. So I imagine that's what happened. But I agree. I thought like the changing the arms was like, well, what are we doing?
The gown itself, though.
So cool.
I am obsessed with how it moved.
Same. Yeah, I loved how it moved. It was so animated. And, like I wouldn't even know how to go about creating something like that.
Right.
You know? Like, this it combines, like, elements of, like, stuffed animals with this ball gown. It was a fetch for me. What about you?
That's a fawn.
Stop trying to make fetch happen.
For me.
It's not going to happen.
And a fawn from Fawn for Neo Huru X. Next up, we had Throb Zombie. What'd you think?
It was like a dark rose prince kind of character, I guess.
Yeah. Lots
it
of
was
reveals.
Pretty.
I loved the... I believe that's another foam hair, right?
Yeah.
Loved that. I think this is one of the... This is, when I think of Throb Zombie, this is how I imagine them. And I wish that we got more of this in the latter half of the season, you know? Because we got a good chunk of it in the middle. And then at the... You know, and then we kind of got some other stuff that I didn't know how it really fit into their brand. But this is like peak, best drag, Throb Zombie. I love it.
I like this kind of makeup too, because it gives that like...
It's very your world. Like, it combines mask and femme, I feel.
And, like, the makeup itself, it just the makeup alone gives me, like, extremely pretty, probably wealthy, pretty boy.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
I do.
That has, like, a sinister side.
Yes. And this is, he keeps this look at his winter home. Mm-hmm. I loved everything about it. I will say the one thing I did not like was... The rose petals hidden in the headpiece. It's like, okay, we all know like the most iconic gag ever is rose petals and hair. Maybe I think that he could have done something more surprising that would have
thorns.
Yeah. Thorns would have been really
just
cool.
Just the thorns.
Yeah. Or a crown of thorns. I don't know. Just something different.
Jesus.
Cause I
pop.
When he lifted that, I was like, he's definitely about to have roses
and have holes in your wrist from where you were nailed to the cross.
Exactly.
And have the boules come up and put their finger in it.
Mm-hmm.
Finger your wrist.
That's Throb's only unfucked orifice.
Not for long.
Yeah, not after this finale. But I loved the layering of it. I loved the reveal after reveal after reveal. It really felt like a final look. And it was a fetch for me.
It's a fun for me.
Stop trying to make fetch
I'm being
happen.
So nice today.
It's
oh
not
my God.
Going to happen.
You really are.
I really loved this finale. I've loved this season. It felt very, I don't know. I enjoyed a lot of seeing myself on it. Oh, and I did want to say, I loved the detailing of the thorns on their gloves. Yeah. I thought that was a really cool detail that you don't always see. Next up, we have Orgotic. What do you think of this one for glamour? This is the one all season we've been saying. We want to see what Orgotic does for glamour.
I really like the makeup and the headpiece.
Okay.
And I like the wings. That's about it.
Yeah, I don't like this. This didn't work.
Looks like duct tape and not in a good way.
I think he should have switched this look with his hotel look, because even if he was in the bottom for this in the hotel look, I think that that look would have done him, would have served him better here.
Yeah.
You know, it just, I didn't like the wings.
This is my least favorite orc look of the season.
And you run out of drag, like, at this point. Like, I get it. It's hard. But we'd already seen the wings in the Monsters of Rock challenge, and they were far more impressive than this. And we'd already seen a lot of other stuff. So, this wasn't it for me. It's a flop.
Yeah.
Double flop for Orc in the glamour. Sorry, buddy. I did like the tooth detail, though. I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, I loved the tooth.
Yeah.
I loved the tooth.
Yeah, it's like he combined his two middle teeth, top two middle teeth. Two front teeth. That's the word I was looking for. And it was just, it came to a point. Well,
for Christmas is my two front teeth.
And finally, we have Blackberry.
Coming out as the Bride of Frankenstein.
All right. I want to know what you think, because I have complicated feelings about this one.
What are your complicated feelings?
I guess it's that she's stunning, beautiful, gorgeous, everything that I would ever want to be in a drag queen. But this concept is very basic. You know, I've seen this multiple times in our own city, and it's like, I want to get this original idea more so in the glamour. When we're getting your glamour, I don't want to get your character. Does that, like, or someone
honestly,
else's character?
Her crowning look would have probably been better.
Yes, she should have switched them. Imagine the contrast with the white and red. Like,
however, I will say, if you're gonna do something basic,
do it well.
You've got to fucking nail it, and Blackberry always does. Like, I can't critique the look itself.
Yeah, agreed.
I don't have anything negative to say about the look.
She looks so good.
So, like,
it's just
I wish it would have been a different concept.
Same.
But it was so good,
too. I just want to see, I just wish I saw Blackberry's glamour, not Bride of Frankenstein's glamour. And that is my issue, but I'm gonna give it a full plus.
But also, she's she likes anime and like cosplay and shit like that. So it's still like kind of on brand for like what she's done this season. But I would have preferred her to swap her crowning with this.
But her performance, I mean, she looked. I really want to see Blackberry perform.
Same.
There's a show coming up in North Carolina with Riley Poppyseed and Blackberry. And I was like, should I make a weekend trip? Should I make the 10-hour drive? It's on their page, on their Facebook pages. I need to go check again. But it's far, but it's not that far. So, I really want to see Blackberry perform, because, God, they're
same.
Fierce. This is a fawn plus for me. I would give it a fetch if they switch their crowning look with this.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, double fawn pluses from us for you, Blackberry.
So, what did you think after the floor shows were done, before we got to crowning? What were you thinking?
I didn't know who would win. I really didn't. Because I know that I have this bias for Neo. I love her to death, and I feel like I identify a lot with her. I also, you know, I think that a lot of... I see my husband when he does drag, and a lot of what Neo does as well. And so... I recognize I have this bias for her, so I was really hoping she would win. But they didn't make it very clear for us who was going to take it.
For me, it was between Blackberry and Neo.
Mm, really? I thought Throb could take it, too.
It was between Blackberry and Neo for me. Because Blackberry had been, like, so consistent in the finale.
Yeah.
I think Blackberry was probably one of the most consistent in the finale.
Agreed.
Because there wasn't a category that was just a flop for Blackberry. Whereas I felt like everybody else did have a category that was a flop. But I also know the Boulets judge by the season, not just on the finale. So I was like, fuck, that means Neo's probably just going to win. So, like, what's the even point of having a finale? Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, I do think I think it could have changed things, though, potentially.
I thought this was some of Neo's worst runways of the season.
Well,
I think Neo has shown multiple things that were much more impressive than the things we saw this episode.
I thought I agree for the horror category, but I think if you look at the filth, you know, everyone else had a gag that didn't work in one way or another.
Yeah.
But, and Neo didn't have that. But also the thing is, if you know that something's not going to work, why complicate it? You know?
Yeah.
And I do feel that she, if you look at it from that perspective, she may have won in the Boulay's eyes because she had a flawless, I say in air quotes, presentation.
I almost wish she would have swapped her filth with her trash can children.
Her filth with her trash. Yeah. The spider one. Yeah, I could see that too. But also, like, is a pig phallus children? But also, she had pussies all over her, so
right.
Maybe not. I don't know. Yeah, I didn't love her horror. There were definitely other people I liked more, but I thought horror in general wasn't as strong as I've seen other ones be.
Right, but I mean, like, so, like, everybody I felt, like, flopped a category,
mm-hmm.
except for Blackberry. So, for me, Blackberry won the finale. Whether Blackberry won the season or not, Blackberry won the finale.
Blackberry had me nervous for several weeks towards the end here, gotta say. All right, well, we are gonna take a break.
I was like in her inbox too, and I was like, girl, I'm rooting for you.
Did she respond?
Yeah.
Oh, oh my
God. I told her that her horror look was like my favorite of the finale.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I mean, it really is impressive. And I actually have an idea kind of similar to that. So when she walked out, I was like, damn it. But it's fine. I think what I have in mind is a bit separate. Anyways, we're going to take a break and we will come back to discuss the crowning judgment and give flops and fawns of the week. And we are back and we're talking about the judgment and crowning. So we get a very long monologue from the Boulays about each of the remaining monsters this season,
yes.
as they tell us what their final thoughts are in the judgment. So, did anything really stand out from you from this?
What stood out to me was it sounded like they wanted Orc back on a future season, like a Titan season.
Yeah.
Was the vibe that I got from Orc. And also, like, the harping on Neo's past.
Yeah.
I was like, that's either gonna like benefit her or that is really gonna be a detriment to her.
See, I was thinking the same thing. One thing I did not like was that they kind of made it, I feel like if you don't want one of these people to win, don't tell the audience that or eliminate them when it's appropriate, you know? Like, why?
But I mean, Orc won his spot in the finale.
Absolutely. But then I just don't like that it's like, yeah, he's not ready to win.
You know?
Don't say that. If you know, sure, maybe he earned his spot and maybe they didn't want that, but it just makes me feel like I may have wasted time caring about someone in a way.
Yeah, but also, like, you don't know what the finale stuff is until it happens. And so had he brought something different?
I wonder how they do it. I wonder if they, because I know for Drag Race and for Camp Wanakiki, they have, they know what you're gonna wear in future episodes.
So I don't know.
But with Orc, it's like, how, maybe he drew a sketch or something and they knew, because this was some of his most impressive work, the first two at least. I agree for the other pieces of
that. I'm glad he was there and I'm also glad he didn't win.
Fair. Yeah, I don't think it would have felt complete without him. Okay, any other thoughts on the judgment?
I think that's all.
All right. Then we get into the crowning. I don't want to spend time fawning and flopping each of these looks, but I thought they all looked amazing.
I want the crown.
Okay.
I want that crown.
I laughed out loud when the Boulay said, this gorgeous and extremely expensive crown. It's like, okay, go off. Gorgeous and extremely expensive crown. Okay. I mean, Blackberry looked so good. so good at crowning. I can't believe that she was okay with getting blood all over herself with this.
Honestly, I think her and Orc should have swapped their looks for their glamour look.
I agree. I think Orc's, yeah, this is where he should have switched it. Because that white is, it reminds me too much of the blacklight look. And that was such a flop.
But it's so good. This one's so good, though.
And it looks very clean. He looks very polished, I would say. Throb also looks stunning, and Neo's given us body like she has all season. It's the most naked she's been all season. I
wonder if they, like, how they do this. Do they crown multiple winners, like, film multiple winners?
It's my understanding that they do.
So do they have, like, different looks, or how does this work?
So if you watch, you'll notice that they film each of them walking up as if the blood is about to be poured on them. But when we see Neo getting blood poured all over her, no one else is there. And I think that's because they film everyone getting blood poured on them. So that means all four of these outfits are ruined. and we only get to see the one. Because, like, if you look in the blood shots, there's no one in the background of Neo. It's like they all just disappear for a second.
Oh.
But it was fierce. I cried. I'm not trying to gloat, but I was jumping for joy. Like, I was so happy.
I cried too.
She was. You said, now I have to lose two bets. Ugh.
I had a 75% chance. It doesn't get better than that.
You're right. You're right. I mean, what's wild to me for the bets for Titans and for this is that for both of them, they were not either of our first picks. It was like, oh, yeah, I should pick that person. I like them, you know? And it just casually happened that way. So it's like, I was kind of worried when we started with who should pick first. It's an odd number of competitors this season. So how will that work? You know, but it really didn't even matter in the end. It was just like, I don't know. We're kind of picking over the last few here. Sure, I'll take Neo.
And Black Mirror was like my number two choice.
Yeah. So you had good intuition. I mean, two of the people on your side, they've basically offered a spot back on Titans.
Because, like, Jarvis was my number one. I knew you weren't going to pick Orc, but I wanted Orc. So I saved Orc for my last pick.
Can I tell you something?
What?
I thought Orc might win.
At one point, then I did.
The day before we picked it, I don't know if you remember this, but when we filmed, I think, episode one review of this, or maybe the whenever we picked the bet, I was scrolling on YouTube, and someone as the thumbnail had a spoiler, and it said that Orc got eliminated in episode 5. So I was like, I'm just not going to pick him. I'm going to let Fawn think I'm being an asshole. I'm not going to pick him. And then he kept going, and I was like, what's happening? What's happening? What's happening? Because I almost took him. I almost did. And I was like, no, I know he's not going to win because of this spoiler that some idiot left as the thumbnail. And that's not.
I'm going to make a spoiler video next year. That's fake.
I was like, the whole latter half of the season, I was just shitting bricks. I was like, Orc is supposed to leave. Like, when is this going to happen? And it never did. I was so scared. So, yeah. Anyways, it's nice to have won twice. I did not expect to win this time. I really didn't.
After I had picked Jarvis,
I thought it was over.
Somebody told me that Jarvis made it really far. And we see Jarvis did not make it very far.
I know. And isn't that wild? Like, our first picks were relatively early outs.
Technically, wait, who was second out? So, first and third out. Because Santana was second out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if you're not counting JK in that mix from episode one. All right. So that means Fawn's got a bungee jump in drag. So before season 3 comes out, Fawn will have a new tattoo. And Fawn will also have gained the lovely experience of bungee jumping in drag.
As long as we can get a date before we start.
Yeah, theoretically. I mean, we're going to do our best. Things will be scheduled. Things will be scheduled.
Bungee jumping is going to be like...
To this bit.
The hardest one to schedule because we are going to have to go out of state.
Yeah, yeah. It's surprisingly difficult. So listeners, if you have any connections to bungee jumping and it is safe, please let us know.
Especially if you like think they would let me do it in drag.
Yeah, like queer-friendly bungee jumping is pretty difficult to find. Didn't expect it to be, but... I'm sure we'll make something work. If not, I don't know. You can just jump off my front porch. Okay. Anything else about the season?
BlackBerry was robbed.
Robbed?
I'm not going to say that.
Wow.
Because I don't believe that. I think BlackBerry won the finale. I think Neo won the season.
Okay. Works for me. I will say, though, when I think back, like, on the season, I don't know that I need to see Neo again on another season, but I would love to see more of BlackBerry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like I'm really happy with her being a winner. It's kind of like Sasha Colby. I don't know that I need to see Sasha Colby on another season.
I do. I need to see her on an All Winners.
Fair, fair. But what are all those other winners going to do once they become losers? Okay.
Ask Trinity. Oh,
she doesn't talk to me. Okay, moving on. Flops of the week. This is our segment at the end of each Dragula review episode, and that we do each and every week, where we go on a 60-second rant of something that deserves to be flopped in this world. Fawn, are you ready?
Yeah, it's real stupid.
Is it real stupid?
It's really stupid.
Well, the flop matches the...
the flopper.
The flopperina. Okay. This is Fallen 60-second timer. Your time starts now.
My flop of the week is when you are on your phone and you are trying to just go about your business and do your shit on your phone, and you're clicking something at the top of the screen, and as you're clicking, you get a fucking notification. So you're just seconds. Trying to like do stuff. There's so many things that you have to do at the top of your phone, like the back button, the refresh button.
Yes.
But the notifications always come in at the top. I'm not trying to click the bottom of my screen a ton. Why don't the notifications come from the bottom instead of the top, where I'm always trying to click, where I'm trying to like pull down to see how much battery I have, or get to the flashlight, or
seconds.
Where I'm trying to like click back when I have Google Maps open and I've exited out of it, and I'm trying to get the easy back into Google Maps. Like, what the fuck? Like, why do we have to have the notifications at the top of the screen?
This seems really fun and fair.
It is not very fun and fair, indeed.
And that's 60 seconds. Yeah. I agree 100%. I wish I had thought of this before. Yeah. The first time I experienced this, I had a friend in high school who was very, very, very good. He played very competitively at Angry Birds. And I always tried to beat him. But people would text me as soon as I was like pulling the Angry Bird back. And it would always like throw them off. And it would ruin my streak on Angry Birds. So I could never beat my friend.
Yeah, I hate it.
It's
like, I'll be playing like a game, or like I'll be like trying to get back to Google Maps or some shit. It happened to me at least 5 or 6 times yesterday alone.
Ugh, that's so frustrating.
I know.
I'm sorry.
It's such first world problems.
I'm sorry that happened to you.
But I hate it.
Fawn, people are dying.
As Delta says, we're here to small... We're here to small the fry fish.
Small the fry. To flop the small fish. All right. I believe that means it's time for my 60-second flop of the week. Yes? No?
Yes.
What am I going to talk about? Oh, I know. I know. I have something. Oh, this has always bothered me. All right.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. This is going to seem like such a 2020 problem, but it still continues to this day.
3, 2, 1. Go.
My flop of the week is turn on your goddamn Zoom camera, okay? Nothing tells me that you care less about the conversation we are having than seeing that I have to talk to just an empty screen.
Right in front of my son?
Yeah, it's so freaking rude. Like, I can understand maybe a one-off. You know, you have to deal with something and you're like having to be halfway in. But if you are in charge of leading the meeting that we're supposed to be talking about, there is no clearer way to communicate to me that you do not care seconds. About what we're talking about than for you to just sit there without it on. And
cue the sniper.
Yeah, and to just chime in every here and there, maybe with an emoji. It's like, what are we doing? We have been seconds. Using this platform for 4 fucking years.
Hi, gay.
It's gonna be there. We all know what Zoom etiquette is. Please fucking
10 seconds.
Use it. It's truly not even that hard. Also, if you are in a situation where you can't use your camera, just put it in the chat. Hey, I have to be off camera right now, but I'm listening. I would appreciate that more than anything so that I know that you care.
And that is why people not using their Zoom video for the Zoom calls is Flapjack's flop of the week.
Do you use Zoom very often?
No.
This is very much like an office problem issue. But like, I don't want to say names on this because there is something like kind of in the community that happened recently that it really just, it irks my soul. And there's no clearer indicator to me that you are not going to follow through on what you're doing than just knowing that you don't even care enough to have the conversation.
Right.
Like there was a situation where I was doing a performance with a group and someone who was supposed to be in charge was the only person who was not there in person, and they also just didn't have their camera on. And it's like, what are we doing? You know, why are we here? Don't waste my time. That's probably why they weren't paying attention. I don't know. It is my number one pet peeve. I hate it so very, very much.
Do you remember about the like guy who was masturbating with on a work call?
Yeah, it's happened all the time. That's why I got fired from my last job.
I think it was like fairly recently.
Yeah, I've seen several. Like one where I've seen one where a woman
thought his camera was off,
and he gets out lotion,
and he unbuckles. Had it muted too, so he couldn't hear them.
Ugh, nightmare scenario. I'm always so careful in Zoom because you have to just like assume everyone is gonna see everything, whether your camera's on or off, because like glitches happen, you know. Yeah. And this one time. I was in a very large Zoom call. I have to speak somewhat vaguely about this particular situation, but it's interesting. I was in this very large Zoom call of about 600 to 1,000 people, and one of the people who was running it was trying to send a direct message to someone that said, "I have no idea what the fuck is going on." And it went to everyone. So I don't know. I just, the audacity of some people, it's like send a text. Don't use the platform.
Right. Don't those, if like they publish like the notes and stuff, can't those?
Yes, it's all there.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah. So there is a record. And like, if it was like early 2020 days, like I get it. We weren't all familiar with it. We're 4 years into this. And most of us are either working from home and have figured out what that option is, or we are in an office setting. And so like that kind of behavior is still going on. Is nuts. And I realize this is very like corporate issue, but it kind of crossed over into a drag thing that I did, and I was like, what are we doing, y'all? You should know better by now. This is insane. So anyways, that's my fawn of the week.
Slay.
What's your fawn of the week?
My fawn of the week is going to be our new house.
That is a fierce fawn of the week. I'm really happy for you. I'm so excited for you to be in a new space. Yeah. To like have this new chapter, like I think it's gonna make a world of difference for you, and you're gonna find that you just feel more free.
Yeah,
you know,
my goal is to like have all of my shit moved in tomorrow except for my drag shit, because I've basically got everything except for a few pieces of furniture and my clothes moved in right now.
Yeah,
so like all I've got to do is get that and then get my drag shit. And then it'll be moving Mark in.
It's gonna be awesome. I'm really pumped for y'all.
But yeah, I'm excited to have like people over to the house. We'll be, I'm sure, doing events occasionally, not all the time. We're not that crazy. But
yeah, when we first got this house, we were really pumped to have parties and stuff all the time. But here recently, there's just been no time for that. You know? Yeah. Like I think the last one we had was like our fruit themed party.
Yeah.
Was that 2 years ago now?
I think so.
Jesus Christ. Like, that was the last time we had, like, a huge party. And it was just like, anyone come, you know? And I wish I want to do another one. But there's just a lot of work we have to do on our house to get it to that point now.
And, like, for us, I know it's going to be, like, great for our mental health, both of ours, to be able to have, like, a space where we also have a separate space for drag that is going to be out of the way, not just all throughout the house.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm really excited for that shit.
That's fierce. I can't wait. For me, my fun of the week, it's definitely going to go to getting to be in my first musical with Pageant. I've never done this before. It's my fourth production with Birmingham Festival Theater. I was very overwhelmed when I first realized that I was really needed to do this show.
Yeah.
Because I initially did not want to, with Comedy Queen going on and just having just done Seven Santas. It has turned out to be something that has been a really fun joy in my life, especially over the last week. Like,
yeah.
I don't normally put a lot of faith in things like the full moon affecting people and stuff like that. But I think it did this week because I think everyone I know did something crazy. And I just needed this distraction of, okay, I've got to learn these songs. I've got to learn these lines. I need to make my costumes. I really appreciated it. So if you can, please come out to see Pageant, the musical at Birmingham Festival Theater. It's a really funny show. It is probably the funniest show I've ever done. And that's always a great feeling, just hearing people laugh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening to the final episode of season 2 of Flapping and Fawning. We'll see you next time. Thanks again for listening to
Flapping and Fawning.
Thanks for listening to
Flapping and Fawning.
Music by Elliot Nass.
Promotional art by Danny Lee.
Hosts are Flapjack.
Oh, hey, that's me.
And I'm Fawn. You can follow me on Instagram at fawn.fawn.fawn.
And you can follow me over at Instagram as well. And pretty much any other social media platform at flapjacqueline, FLAPJACQUELINE.
Connect with us on social media on Instagram at Flapping and Fawning Pod and on Twitter at Flap and Fawn Pod.
Oh, and make sure you check out the links in our bio to buy some merch. You can also connect with us via Gmail at flappingandfawningpod@gmail.com. See you next time.
Bye.
Ta-ta.